Do not adjust your television. What you are about to experience is stranger than fiction.
Hey there, strangers, and welcome to Stranger Than Fiction. We are joined with our lovely co-host.
Hi, I'm Heidi.
And my name's Devin. We are not only co-hosts of this podcast, we also run a YouTube channel called Channeling Spirits.
Yes.
We just did a cool episode on The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just finished editing a episode on Monster Cereal, the history of Monster Cereal. So Heidi, what sort of videos, I mean, that kind of gives it a little bit of an idea.
Well, we do a variety of things. We talk about different monsters. We do a lot of Ghostbusters content because that seems to be very popular. We talk about Beetlejuice, whether he committed suicide or not. So lots of fun topics for those spooky lovers out there.
And speaking of Ghostbusters, so for today's episode, and to give you an idea of what Stranger Than Fiction is we take topics, usually kind of supernatural or, you know, unnatural in nature, and then we do deep dives as far as like what the real history is.
Mm-hmm.
So for this episode, we watch The Real Ghostbusters Season 1, Episode 6, The Boogeyman Cometh. And we're going to be talking about real life boogeymen.
Ooh.
And bogeymen and boogermen.
Boogermen? What about burgermen?
No, burgermen. That is strictly off the table.
I want a burger now.
So did you, just to start, did you believe in the boogeyman or did you like see the boogeyman when you were a kid?
No.
No?
No.
Not at all. Like, were you aware of kids like that would like talk about the boogeyman?
Not really. I feel like the only mention of the boogeyman was really that Disney Channel movie about the boogeyman.
There was a Disney Channel movie?
Yeah, about the boogeyman in the 90s.
I don't remember this.
I think it was called Don't Look Under the Bed.
Oh, we had like cable and Disney Channel in like late 2000s or late 90s, like into 2000s.
It was like late 2000s?
It was a really late bloomer. So I may have missed that one. I'm curious on like the regional differences for boogeyman. So I was hoping like you could tell me like what, you know, because you were from the Southwest and I was from the Midwest and like what maybe if there were differences. And I'm wondering if it was like maybe less prevalent in certain areas, because in the Midwest, I would say it was definitely a thing.
I mean, there was definitely like monsters. Like I was always afraid to like, that something was like going to grab my foot when I like jumped out of my bed to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Were you more afraid of like under the bed or in the closet?
Both, because my bed directly faced my closet.
Oh, you were totally
doomed.
Screwed. Just if monster
and,
was
and the
going
door
to
had
get you.
To be closed. Like I could not sleep with it open.
Wow.
Which is interesting because I also like our bathroom door closed at night, if you notice that.
See, we had a bunch of like, I was in a bunk bed. I was in the bottom bunk. So I was monster food. My brother was going to be fine. But we had like a bunch of toys under the bed. So like I wasn't like how could a monster live there? That's ridiculous. But like the closet, I was like, yeah, he's in there.
But could the cats ever like mess with the toys underneath? See, that would freak me out. I'd be like, "Oh god."
I mean, they were in like bins.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, like it was pretty airtight.
It was filled.
Yeah.
There's no space for monsters down here.
But I will say, and this is one of those, and I'm curious on your thoughts on this, because I have a very vivid memory, but I also think it's like a made-up memory. Like,
okay.
You ever have like childhood memories that you're like, there's no way that was real. My mind must have manufactured that.
I don't know. I had a really weird childhood.
Well, my brother's asleep. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, it's late at night, and the closet door creaks open.
That's the worst.
And a white clawed hand just like emerges from it, and I freak out. Now to this day, like, I can very vividly remember that, but like the logical adult in me is like, that wasn't real. You're just clearly have an overactive imagination. The mind is very capable of producing memories. Like, they've done all sorts of tests where like they'll, like, I know my brother did a psychology class where they had this individual, they didn't tell this anyone that this person was coming in, but all of a sudden this person comes in the lecture hall and just like grabbed the professor's book and like walked out. And everyone was like, what was that? And the professor's just like, everybody stop, give me a description of that individual. One, everybody had a different description, and two, nobody had a proper and like exact description. And the whole point was essentially witness testimony is really questionable, and like our memory is not as good as we think it is. And a lot of times we will fill in gaps because we'll be like, did they have a yellow hat? Yeah, I think, yeah, they definitely had a yellow hat. And then all of a sudden it's like, they didn't have a hat at all. So I'm just curious on, you know, if anybody else had like a similar experience of like, you know, a boogeyman in their closet or under their bed. But jumping right into it, let's go into
Heidi's dissection.
So in this episode of The Real Ghostbusters, for those of you who don't know what The Real Ghostbusters is, it is a cartoon from the 80s,
90s? 80s into the 90s.
Okay, so I was right with the 80s, 90s. And obviously it's with the Ghostbusters, although they look totally different. Not totally, but a little bit, you know, like Egon has blonde hair, Ray's a ginger, you know, it's a little bit different.
Well, if they did like
a redhead.
If they did three brown haired guys, like it'd be a little harder. So they'd give them different body types, different hairs, you know.
All right. So the episode, lovely intro of the Ghostbuster ghost from the logo just dancing away.
The Moogly.
The Moogly?
That is the no ghost. That is his name.
Moogly.
It's a Moogly.
Like a Mamogwai?
Nope. First of all, it's just Mogwai. It's not Mamogwai.
Did I just say Mamogwai?
Yeah.
Mamogwai?
Whatever. Okay, so the episode. How does it start?
I looked at Heidi and said, do you want to take notes? And she just tapped her brain. And I was like, that? Okay.
Okay.
So there's a prelude with a gangster ghost.
Yes.
Louis or Louis. Okay.
So it's a gangster ghost driving a car who he's got like fish ears. Like he's got like fins on the side of his face. And he's like, see here.
It's a James Cagney impression.
Very awful impression. Just.
You'll never take me alive, coppers.
Reminded me of like the Great Movie Ride.
Yeah, anyway, James Cagney.
Yeah, I know. So they're like, nah, we got you, man.
Another ghost, another dollar.
And they capture the ghost. I don't know what else that was. They capture the ghost. That was the start of the episode.
Yeah.
And then they're like, nah, I want to go sleepy. I'm so tired from catching ghosts. And
which I now that thinking about it, like that usually like a little prelude or stinger like has something to do with the larger episode. This doesn't.
Nope.
It really is just kind of like, we captured a ghost. Now we're done capturing ghosts. Let's go back to the firehouse.
So Peter Venkman he puts his head down on his pillow and it's all squishy and slimy. And he's like, what the? And he's like, Slimer, man, you slept on my pillow again. I said he jizzed on his pillow, but.
That's not appropriate.
So yeah, so it's all slimy and gross. So he's all pissed off at Slimer. And so Peter Venkman gets up and goes to Ray's trunk and he's like, I'm going to blow up this ghost bomb at you. And Slimer's like, no, please, God, no, I'm so sorry.
Except it's more like, la, 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 la.
And then he's like, all right.
Works every time.
Just forgives him. He's like, works every time. But I'm like, what did you get out of that? An apology? Your pillow's still soggy.
Threatened Slimer and he put him in line.
Yeah. So anyway, that sets up the bomb, the ghost bomb, which is
it's Chekhov's gun. Chekhov's ecto ghost bomb.
Importante. So they're trying to sleep and all of a sudden Janine's like, hey, y'all, gotta wake up. And they're like, I told you, like, do not disturb. I want to sleep.
Well, it's clearly like the middle of the night. And she's like, I wouldn't normally disturb you guys, but this is important.
And he's like, okay, what? And he's like, she's like, here's some kids.
Here's two children.
Two children. And they are your newest clients. And he's like, okay. I'm thinking, where are your parents?
Yeah,
they've walked here.
They've wandered through downtown Manhattan at night in their PJs with their piggy bank.
Yeah. And they're like, this is our money for you. And they're like, oh, it's going to cost $1,500. And she's like, yeah, we only got a few pennies.
Which, by the way, if their average cost is $1,500, that's substantially lower than Sedgwick, which was $5,000. Like, they've reduced their prices.
Yeah, because they got put in check.
Oh, after Stay Puff. Like, they're like, we gotta lower our rates if we want anything. and then they really lower their rates.
Yes. So they go, so they're like, all right, we'll go follow you to your house in the middle of the night and see what's going on. And they're like, oh, it's the boogeyman. And they're like, oh, okay, it's the boogeyman. But Egon is like, you know, we should actually go check this out. And you're like, why, Egon? Well, clearly Egon's got some history with the boogeyman. And so they go to their room and they open the closet door and they're like, just a closet. In the meantime, right, the parents are not there. There's four men just clanking around in their two children's bedroom.
Presumably, like Ecto-1's got its siren on.
In the middle of the night.
And they've opened the door. They've, you know, clunked upstairs with their heavy proton
tags. They're talking loud.
Like, they got their PKE meter going like, wee wee. And then they're just like opening doors and like,
the kid's fine. The parents just sleep through anything.
It's fine.
So then all of a sudden it gets all glowy and weird, and the creepiest cartoon ever steps out.
So if you've never seen this episode, which one, definitely watch it, but give a description of this horrific thing.
All right. So first of all, it's got like goat's feet, which, you know, I do not like goats. Okay. So it's got like the lower half is like some type of like hoofed animal. And then it's got its arms. It's got like long black nail talons, which I said look like my nails. They're not that long, but they're like super long black talons and this giant ass head that's like four times the size of its body. Yeah. Right. And it's got a huge, huge pointy nose and like this green spiky hair that's also a mullet. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah.
And then it's got like huge teeth and then sharp teeth in the front and just like red eyes.
And this thing's standing like
terrifying.
12, 14 feet tall. Like, it's like twice the height
existed,
of a man.
If this existed, I'd be like, yeah, I'm out. So, literally, like, really creepy. Like, when I watched it, I was like, I'm uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this thing comes through the door, and he goes immediately for Egon. He's like, I remember you. Also, he's got a super creepy voice. He's I'll be back, children.
It's like,
I remember you.
Really raspy and just like he kind of pitches it perfect where he's like,
I remember you.
So I'll actually make him sound like Gandalf.
I'll actually it doesn't sound like Gandalf.
Yeah, that's Gandalf.
It doesn't sound like Gandalf.
All right. Well, no, you sounded like Dumbledore in the first movie.
Fine. They're both just fine.
That's what you sounded like.
Gandalf.
No.
That's a different wizard.
No, the first voice.
Don't you know anything about Harry Potter?
How dare you? Anyway, so they blast him with
the proton streams.
I almost said proton packs, and I was like,
well, yeah. I mean,
but then my mind went to like protein packs, like that. Never mind. Anyway, so they blast him. It doesn't really do too much. It just like shoves him back in the closet. And so like the kids are like, now do you believe me? And they're like, yeah, we do. And then the parents finally walk
in. What's all
and
this commotion?
Like, what's going on? Like, why are there four men?
But my favorite is Ray just like pulls out this like wallet with a Ghostbusters like badge. So she's like,
we're official Ghostbuster business.
Don't worry about it. Like, oh, okay.
And the mom's like, yeah, you guys should leave.
Like, even if I woke up in the middle of the night, my child has now like a plumber in there and he just like pulls out his plumber ID. He's like, don't worry, official plumbing business. I'd be like, get out of my house. What are you doing in my house? Go away.
And I'd call the police. Anyway, so they leave and they're like, all right, we got to figure out how to get a hold of the boogeyman since we can't go back to this house we've been kicked out of. And so they're like, well, the boogeyman feeds on children's fear, so we should set up a bedroom where the boogeyman will go through their closet door. And so they look at all these apartments for rent and finally find a really dodgy one for $1,500 a month, which if you think about, in the 80s to 90s for $1,500 for that shithole, like...
Yeah, I kind of want to do the math because this would have come out in 1986. So 1,500, I mean, I don't know what the square footage and the bedrooms and bathrooms, but like...
It was one bedroom.
Did they say one bedroom?
It was one, yeah. I'm just making that deduction.
Oh, okay. Well, I will, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll put up what the inflation rate for what that would be per month. And I'm curious on, like, that probably tracks, honestly, with, like, Manhattan housing and apartments. But still absurd.
Crazy.
And Egon's just like,
we'll take it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, it's because
he's got a vested interest.
Well, no, high PKE activity towards the closet. So he's like, this is the one.
But he also, he wants revenge.
Yes. Why? Because?
Well,
because
they set up, like, they're reading, like, Tobin's Spirit Guide, and they're, like, reading about the boogeyman, and Egon reveals, like, a big character arc, which they dive too much into, and I kind of wish they did.
Yeah, he's like, you know, the boogeyman's actually why I became interested in the paranormal and started researching it.
When I was a child, the boogeyman would come out of my closet. He's the reason I started investigating the supernatural.
Big deal.
And I think that's really interesting, like, Egon, the most logic-based of the Ghostbusters, has almost such an irrational origin that it's just, like, the most implausible creature is what inspired him.
Yeah.
And so it's a good, like, because if it was Ray, you're like, yeah, Ray, you believe anything. Like, you believe Sponge move, and it's something important.
Of course you forget, Peter. I was present at an undersea unexplained mass sponge migration.
Like, it is, okay? Leave SpongeBob alone.
Oh, not that one.
Anyway, so they set up this bedroom. I was really confused because they just start bringing in furniture. And I was like, are you guys actually moving in? But then I realized, oh, they're setting the scene. Yeah. Okay. So they set the scene and they're like, how are we going to convince the boogeyman that a kid lives here? And so Egon dumps a bunch of stuffed animals onto Peter. And Ray's like, oh my God, that it's like a stuffed puppy plushie. I forget what he calls it.
Dopey dog.
Dopey dog.
And it looks just like a pound puppy. And he picks it up and he's like, oh my God, I love it.
Random tangent. Wasn't Dopey Dog the original name of Goofy?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
But I'm sure that has no relevance. But just fun fact, I'm pretty sure that was Goofy's first name.
So he's cuddling this stuffed animal, which is something I would definitely do. Like, I love stuffed animals. And he's like holding it and they're like, we need to find someone who's got the mind of a 6-year-old. And he's like,
Dopey Dog,
like holding it. And they're like, well, clearly we've got our winner here, which also don't be hating on the people who love stuffed animals as an adult. Just throwing that out there.
I'm not silently judging you over here.
How dare you?
Anyway.
Anyway. So.
So flash forward to like just past midnight.
Yeah. So he's asleep. Oh, and also he's being a little whiny butt about it because he's like, he's trying to act like the part of a kid. So he's like, can I have some water? And so Peter gets some water and then he's like, tell me a story.
I actually really enjoyed that. Like,
Peter's like, yeah, okay, here's your story. And he's like, shut up and go to bed. Reminds me of that book, Go the F to Sleep.
Yes.
Yes. So great. Anyway, so he falls asleep and the boogeyman appears and he's like, what's this? A giant toddler?
A rather large toddler.
Oh, is that is that you, Dumbledore?
Yeah, he's like, oversized toddler is what he says. And he's like, ha ha, I got you. And he pulls out his
protein pack, as you call it.
Shush. His proton pack. And he starts getting him. And he's like, oh, no. And he goes back into his realm and they actually follow him into the doorway, the portal into the boogeyman realm.
Which I just want to say, like, the portal also adds to the creepiness of the episode.
Yeah.
Because it's very...
It's like oozy.
It's like a membrane. Like, it's not like, you know, you think of like a portal where it's like Doctor Strange portal. It's just kind of like a circle, like
insane
glowy.
In the membrane.
It's like, it like... bends and yeah, goos. It's really disturbing looking.
I do not like it. So they're inside and it's very Alice in Wonderland feel where it's like
it's a lot of
things are upside down and there's swirly pathways and it's like
I thought more like MC Escher. Like, you
know that is.
The guy with like the upside down stairways or infinity staircases. You know M.C. Escher if I showed you.
But I thought like through the looking glass, like when Alice first falls down the rabbit hole and there's like furniture on like the ceilings and stuff. Anyway, so they're like, we're in the boogeyman realm. And the boogeyman's like, you should not have come.
You were foolish to follow me.
I like your impression of the boogeyman so much better.
Thank you.
You should not have come.
And they're like, well, too bad we're here, man. And they start chasing him around and they're going through all these doorways and whatnot and just following him all around. And finally, they decide that they need to set up this trap for him with the bomb. The ghost bomb, but they don't have enough to power it, so they use their packs. So they put all of their packs together. I don't know the science behind this.
I can tell you, as someone who's looked into the science, there is none here.
And they just attach it to the bomb, and they're like, all right, we're ready for him. And he's like, good, because I'm here now.
Which they almost earlier set up the like, oh, we don't know what the physics are going to be in this universe.
What happens if we blast this thing with our particle beams?
No telling. The laws of physics are different here. It could be even worse than crossing the streams.
And you think that there's going to have some sort of like a larger play, like their proton streams won't work, or maybe the bomb won't work. Nope. Works just fine. They never go back to it. It's just like they have one line where like, maybe this is a problem. Nope, it's not.
It's not. So the boogeyman's like, I'm going to come for you, and I'm going to go after these kids that you tried to help. So he goes to the kids' door, opens it up, and he's like, hey, kids, look at me destroy your heroes. What up?
Now watch me put an end to your so-called heroes.
And they're like, okay, we need to be brave and help the Ghostbusters, because if we're brave, then he can't hurt us.
But there's also a big setup that, and I totally want to get into how Monsters, Inc. stole several ideas from this episode. They definitely stole the fact that monsters like live off fear, and also that there's this dimensional area with all these doors that lead to different kids' bedrooms. Directly lifted from this episode, because it's really cool because the Ghostbusters are just like running around, running through doorways, just running through people's like apartments and houses, and they're just like, wow, man, that's why we shouldn't live in Hollywood. And I'm like, what does Hollywood have to do with Ghostbusters running through your house? Like,
people just run through. It's fine.
Oh, crazy Hollywood.
So they bring a bag of marbles with them, and they're like, let's be brave and bring our marbles because reasons, although they look like giant blueberries.
Yeah, I thought they were blueberries.
I thought they were grapes. Oh. I don't know why.
Blue grapes?
Yeah. This is where my mind went, because they were like shiny. So Egon's like, all right, I'm going to be the one to distract him. I got this. This is personal. And so he goes up to him and he's like, I'm going to get you. And the boogeyman's like, nah, I'm going to get you. And this is all while the other guys are just kind of standing there waiting for the thing to charge up the bomb.
They can't get through because like the boogeyman's blocked the path to get into like the earth realm, for lack of a better word. So it's not like they're just standing around. Like
the path is just blocked. Standing there. And so the two kids are like, hey, boogeyman, suck on this. And then they throw the marbles, and the boogeyman starts to run after them, doesn't see the marbles, and then slips and falls.
He's got a giant head, okay? His peripheral vision is limited.
And so he, like, falls over the edge, but holds on to the edge. And I don't know why the Ghostbusters didn't just stamp on his hands.
Well, maybe because then he could have, like, grabbed their foot and, like, I don't know, pulled them down.
Maybe. And so,
why don't you do that, you know, when the boogeyman grabs your foot in bed?
Okay. So the boogeyman's just hanging on, and the Ghostbusters run towards the door with the kids, pick them up, and they go to close the door because the bomb's about to go off. And the boogeyman picks himself back up, and he's like starting to go after them, and he's like, wait a minute, I hear a ticking. There's a bomb? And then the bomb explodes just in time for the parents to see the bomb exploding. This doesn't show the boogie realm, so if I was the parent in the earth side and I saw a bomb go off, I'd be like, what the hell is happening?
I already told you to stop being in my child's bedroom.
Yeah, now you're setting off bombs? Like, yeah. Yeah. And so they're like, now do you believe me? The kids say that to the parents, and I'm like, oh, we owe you an apology. And I was like, well, you never saw proof of anything. All you saw was a bomb going off, but okay.
I wish then, like, Venkman would be like, hey, here's the check.
Another ghost, another dollar.
Your kid's piggy bank wasn't enough. You owe us money.
Right?
You didn't agree to this, but...
Too bad. And then they lived happily ever after.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little epilogue with, like, Slimer being still, like, a goon, and Peter wants to murder him, and that's always...
That's the end.
Yeah. So, how would you rate this episode? One through 10 protein packs. How many do you give it?
2 protein packs.
Oh, really?
I don't like it.
What don't you like?
I didn't like the way the monster looked. Like, if it makes
Okay, that doesn't mean it's a bad episode. Just because you don't like the aesthetics and it's creepy doesn't mean it's inherently bad.
But I like creepy things.
What didn't you like about it? Name one bad thing.
You're going to hate me, but I just don't care for the show.
I think you have a poor judge of quality.
It's just,
you think
it's
Sabrina
not a
and
show.
Schlock is good, and yet you have a quality animation, well-acted show, and you can't even see the good in it.
I didn't say, it's not for me.
I would give it like a 9 out of 10.
I'm happy for you.
I think it's a great episode.
I think we'll be very happy together.
I think it's one of the best examples of the real Ghostbusters. I think it's a brilliant... I am curious, because when was the first time you saw this? Was it as an adult?
Yeah, with you.
Okay. Don't need to get snappy. So I saw this as a kid, and this was, you know, one of the...
It'd be terrifying.
It was. It really was. And that's where I find it really weird is, I think a lot of kids have experience, you know, with spooky or scary things. And I would say this is a scary thing. Mm-hmm. It was definitely terrifying as a kid, but it didn't turn me away. It turned me on. But it interested me in spooky and scary things. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you probably have, you know, different types of people that they see something like scary like that and they're like, I don't want to enjoy this at all. I want to get away from this. Mm-hmm. Whereas I became fascinated with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if other people had a similar experience, you know, especially with Ghostbusters and the Ghostbusters community, is did you find that there was something scary that actually, you know, because it's Ghostbusters, and I would say like that was empowering, like that there were these ghosts and monsters that you could have a active participatory role in stopping. And so therefore you had, you know, like an actual motive and a combative ability to overcome it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like for you, you found it pretty scary just as an adult.
I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm scared watching this
unsettled.
Episode. But I'm just like, I don't like the way that looks. That's probably going to creep into my dreams like 2 years from now randomly.
I would say that's being scared.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
So I can't convince you to give it any more than a 2.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my 2.
Wow. That's harsh. That's rough. So with Heidi's condemnation, we're going to move on to our next segment called Behind the Screens.
Ah!
Can we do that again so I can do like the modulation and then you can do your scream?
Nope, too late.
Behind the Screens.
Ah!
Thank you. So the title of The Boogeyman Cometh is obviously a reference to Eugene O'Neill's famous play, The Iceman Cometh.
Okay, yep. I was thinking that the entire time.
It is. This was directed by Richard Reynes. He would direct actually all 13 episodes of The Real Ghostbusters Season 1, including Citizen Ghost, which we covered in our first podcast episode.
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out. He would go on to direct 13 additional The Real Ghostbusters episodes.
13, so spooky.
Yeah, well, 26 in total, 13 and 13.
Oh. So I was trying to be
spooky. It was written by Michael Reeves, who also wrote 10 episodes of The Real Ghostbusters, including the sequel follow-up, The Boogeyman Is Back.
Ooh, nope.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
So maybe I'll force you to watch another Boogeyman episode because you love The Real Ghostbusters
Then we'll watch the Boogeyman Disney Channel movie that you missed out on.
I'm curious about that.
I bet you it's on Disney Plus.
I'm sure it is. Is that like the Boogeyman that... Like, remember people like were freaking out when like it came out on Disney Plus?
No.
It was like a big thing, like Bogarty or something. Ah. A couple of fun facts. A lot of people know this, but it has to be said. Lorenzo Music, who voiced Peter, also voiced Garfield the cat in the animated series.
Oh, I so hear that.
Interesting little twist is Bill Murray, who obviously was Peter Venkman, then later voiced Garfield the cat.
And they both love lasagna.
Does Peter Venkman love lasagna?
I know,
or
are
you talking about
Murray.
Lorenzo and
Bill Murray?
Oh, okay. Maurice LaMarche voiced Egon. He also voiced Brain and Pinky and the Brain, various Futurama voices. In all, I could go on and list all sorts of things he's done. But one of my favorite credits that you might enjoy, he is listed as the Buddy the Elf Belch.
The big burp?
Yeah.
Was it real?
I mean, I'm sure they modified it, but the fact that, like, somehow they, like, had to bring in...
Did you hear that?
Like, Maurice for that.
I want that on my resume. Belcher.
Yeah. Arsenio Hall voiced Winston. You might know Arsenio Hall from his famous show where he did the woot, 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 kind of like fist in the... No?
What?
Arsenio Hall had a show.
Nope.
Okay. Well, maybe our listeners know... without me having to describe the woot woot fist wave.
Old.
Ernie Hudson actually is the only Ghostbuster that auditioned for his own character and didn't get it.
Oh.
Poor Ernie Hudson always gets the short end of the stick in like everything.
He knows Devin, kind of.
Hey, Devin.
It's a pretty cool story. We'll dive into that another day.
Yeah. Frank Welker voiced
I know him.
Ray
and Slimer.
Knew it. And the Boogeyman, as well as hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other voices, Megatron and Dr. Claw, all sorts of weird animal voices like Apu from Aladdin, lion roars. So we've got Maurice who does belches, we've got Frank who does lion roars. They're doing all sorts of weird sound effects.
Boys.
This is the Boogeyman's first appearance in the real Ghostbusters. Like I said, he would come back in another episode in some cameos. What I find really interesting about Ghostbusters, the real Ghostbusters, is like, unlike a lot of other 80s cartoons, mm-hmm. they don't have a reoccurring villain. So you know how like Ninja Turtles had like the Shredder, He-Man had Skeletor, you had G.I. Joe had like Cobra. I find it interesting that that the real Ghostbusters was able to subsist for several seasons without like a main villain.
Huh.
And they never fell back on that, like, oh, well, this season, let's just make a big overarching villain. But they did have a few that would reoccur, and Boogeyman was one of them. So he is a bigger bad than a lot. So some fun tidbits there.
I have the Rubber Man song stuck in my head. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But instead of Rubber Man, it's Boogeyman.
Here comes the Boogeyman.
Yeah.
And it...
Dun, dun, dun. Oh.
I can't play that because we'll get like a copyright dig.
Boo.
All right, we're going to move on to our next segment called...
The Truth.
Much as you try to bury it, the truth is out there.
So it's Heidi's favorite section, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have this creature known as the Boogeyman, the Bogeyman, Boogie Monster, Boogeyman, as in two words, Boogie Woogie. He's known by a lot of different names.
It's Boogie Wonderland.
That's the name of his realm. He is a mythical creature used by adults to frighten children into good behavior.
Which is awful. Can we just talk about that? You should never use fear as a motivator.
Well,
for children.
What I find interesting, though, is he's like an inverse of Santa Claus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to be said, I think, of an interesting dynamic, especially with Nightmare Before Christmas with Oogie Boogie. Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And there's
but
some
I don't
other.
That he's like, oh, buggy.
I apologize. I will let Tim Burton and Henry Shellac know that.
Thank you.
There's some other interesting things as we get into some boogeymen from other places. So just kind of keep in that Santa Claus inverse mindset that you have this mythical creature that I would say, at least in the United States, Santa Claus is kind of sold to be real.
Mm-hmm. Santa Claus is real. How dare you?
I don't think I don't think my parents ever said, like, the boogeyman is real or used the boogeyman against me, to my knowledge. I think it was more of a cultural thing.
Never been brought up in my childhood, so.
So I'm interested in, did you grow up in a childhood where your parents were like, hey, you better behave or the boogeyman will get you? I'm sure there were households or countries that do that, but it wasn't in my household. So
nor mine.
I'm curious about that. So the question is, where does the word boogie come from?
Boogers.
It originated from the mid-19th century as a quasi-proper name for the devil.
Oh.
It could have possibly been derived from the Middle English words bogue, as in B-O-G-G-E, or bug, maybe pronounced buggy, B-U-G-G-E, which means terror or scarecrow. It relates to the word bugbear, from bug meaning goblin or scarecrow, and bear, an imaginary demon in the form of a bear that ate small children. So if you've ever heard the term bugbear, that there's kind of a tangential relation there. So the word bugaboo also may have arisen from bugbear, if you've heard of that.
I think of the boogeyman, if you're using like the Santa euphemism, I just think of Belschnickel.
I'll get to that. There, that it's not so much Belschnickel as something else that is related to The Office. So there's not really a cultural specific description of the boogeyman. Often it has claws, talons, or sharp teeth, as we saw in the episode. But the thing about the boogeyman, and I think everyone would agree, is its terror is in your imagination. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you find to be most terrifying, that's kind of the form it takes. Or it's the fact that it's this unknowable creature and thing of fear. So there isn't necessarily an agreed upon description, but I would say, you know, pretty terrifying, monstrous things are usually its traits. Again, I'd be curious on what, you know, others imagined or saw in quotes like I did when I was a kid of like what their boogeyman was. But in Midwestern states, the boogeyman will scratch at the window.
Nope.
In the Pacific Northwest, he may manifest in a green fog. In other places, he hides or appears under the bed or in the closet and tickles children when they go to sleep at night.
See, that's why, okay, so I sleep with my feet out of the covers, right? But there are moments.
The boogeyman can tickle you.
There are moments, even in my adult life, that I'm like, I kind of want my feet covered because I'm scared that something's going to grab my foot.
And see, that's why I cover my feet. It's that I don't know. It's got to be some weird, like, instinctual ape brain thing where we're like, must cover feet.
But I'm the opposite. I like them out because I feel suffocated. Anyway.
In addition to some of those other descriptions, sometimes he has, and I think this is something to be worth talking about, envisioned as a tall figure in a black hooded cloak that puts children in a sack. It is said that a wart can be transmitted to someone by the boogeyman. So to me, that black hooded figure sounds a lot like
The Undertaker.
I thought you were going to say Dementor, Dementor.
Dementor, Dementor!
Or, you know, the shadow people, maybe the Hat Man, sleep paralysis,
that's
demons, figures. I think there's probably some correlation there. And that's, I think, something we could probably explore at another time when we may talk on those specific things. But, you know, kind of keep a plug in that. But
I'm like all on edge now all of a sudden.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, I am. I'm like,
because the boogeyman's coming to get you.
No, I'm not thinking about the boogeyman. I'm thinking about the Hat Man now.
Oh, I thought you were going to think about something like tickling your feet. I thought that really set you off.
Ugh. I'm really going to struggle sleeping tonight.
Hatman tickling your feet?
No.
Bing, bing, bing.
No, don't even put that image in my mind.
So in the Netherlands, and I apologize if I am mispronouncing this, but Zwarte Piet, which is essentially translated into Black Peter, is the assistant of Sinterklaas, or St. Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember in the Belschnickel office?
Of course.
When, is his name Ned?
That is my new maintenance worker, Nate.
The little assistant?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He is in blackface?
Yes, and it's very offensive.
And it is very offensive. We are not condoning that. I don't know how that made it on television, but he is dressed up as Black Peter.
His partner, Schwarte Piet, or Black Peter, a slave boy, often portrayed in colorful pantaloons and blackface.
Who is often a Moor who is assisting St. Nicholas. But he visits the Netherlands in December. He is an African-type blackface figure wearing clothing associated with the culture of Spanish Moors, a sack and a small bushel of branches as a disciplining rod. So the sack may contain sweets or presents to reward children for their good behavior, but the sack can also be used to take bad children
away. So it's essentially like Belschnickel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have a lot of characters like that. Like Krampus is very similar, where he would assist St. Nick.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, he had the same sort of bushel and disciplining rod and sack. So I think that's really fascinating that there were other cultures that really put together a boogeyman. Like, it was very much like a carrot and stick.
What does he say?
Belschnickel?
Yeah, no, what does he say?
Like, cheer or fear?
Yeah, cheer
Belschnickel
or fear.
Is here.
Cheer or fear? Belschnickel is here. I judge your year as admirable.
In other areas, the boogeyman, I believe this is in Germany. I apologize, I didn't write this part down, but the boogeyman is known as Der Schwarze Mann, which translates into the black man. Schwarz does not refer to the color of his skin, but his preference for hiding in dark places like a closet, under beds of children, or in the forest at night. There is also an active game for little children in which is called Wer hat Angst, arm wun schwarzen Mann.
My favorite
I'm
game.
Sure I butchered that. I really apologize to any of our German audience. but it translates to who is afraid of the black man? So you have, a lot of that tying in a little bit more to the shadow or hat people. If you're not familiar with some of that a little bit more modern folklore or paranormal experiences, we'll get there.
One day.
We'll get there.
Not today.
Not tonight. In Haiti, the boogeyman is known as, I'm not even going to try that. I'm just going to, if you're on YouTube, you can see it on screen, but essentially it translates into the Master of Midnight, which I think is a really sweet name. It is depicted as a very skinny, two-story tall man.
Nope.
Who walks around late at night and eats anyone left in the streets.
Don't like that.
The story is told to the Haitian children to deter them from going out late at night. Clearly, those two kids in Manhattan in the real Ghostbusters, they did not meet the Master of Midnight. And finally, we have Kaka or Gaga. Bebe. Who's a gray, slimy creature that roamed the streets at night. It could smell a person's guilt and enter their homes through cracks and fissures by extending and contracting its snail-like body. Once it was inside their homes, it would flash them a ghastly grin. It would flash them a ghastly grin with its huge, toothless mouth, scaring them witless.
I'm Kaka.
It's just an old homeless man.
I mean, he's like an old homeless snail without teeth. Doesn't sound as scary as the two-story tall Haitian.
Don't like that.
So my question to you, Heidi, is do you believe in the boogeyman?
If I say no, does that mean he's going to appear? Because I don't want that to happen.
No,
we're in the closet right now.
So you didn't believe in the boogeyman, obviously, as a
kid. No, but
that
doesn't mean I didn't believe in, like, a monster showing up. Like, I just, it wasn't specifically in my head, the boogeyman.
Do you think that I have two theories. One, that this is just a, you know, collective conscious manifestation of childhood fears. And also parents use that to get kids in line. Or do you think it is some sort of energy vampiric creature that preys upon children because they have a lot of, you know, energy or are prone to kind of be recognizing of that spiritual world?
I'm
so it can be, you're just straight up no. Not gonna explore.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Boogeyman, not a thing.
Not a thing.
What if kids are describing seeing a shadow person or something of that nature?
That's different.
Okay.
That's a shadow person.
Okay, so
the boogeyman is not a shadow. The boogeyman is like a physical monster that I can like poke with a stick.
I could not
do that to a shadow person.
Okay, see, I'm less restrictive on its corporeal nature, but I could believe that it could possibly be like a sleep paralysis hallucination or misconstrued with some other creatures. I'm not I'm not going to totally say that I don't think the boogeyman doesn't exist. I'm not really sure what I saw, whether I saw something real or not. So
I'm freaked out, man. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff too, but like that, like, boo.
Yeah. So let us know your thoughts. I'm curious on what people, if they grew up believing or being told of the boogeyman, what you thought the boogeyman looked like. I'm genuinely fascinated in that. I like reading about different cultures on what they think is terrifying. And
when I picture the boogeyman, I think of like...
Do you think more of a man or a monster?
Like a combo. Like, you know, in like the movie The Witch with... where they like take off their skin, like they're really pretty, but then they take off their skin like
the witches, like Roald Dahl.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the witch, where like the two V's, like the Vavitch.
No. The Vitch.
The Vavitch. So let me know your thoughts. I'm really curious on what people think, whether they believed in the boogeyman, whether they still believe in the boogeyman, and what you think it looks like. Be sure to check out our videos. I think one day I'd like to maybe do like a case file on the Ghostbusters boogeyman. And maybe, you know, if you can provide some more information on what you think the boogeyman is, maybe we'll include that. But thanks so much for joining us. We love having you. Let us know what you'd like to see next. Obviously, we're not going to cover the real Ghostbusters for a few more episodes. Give Heidi a break.
Because we're going into real spooky season.
We are.
Which means we can cover witches or vampires.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things in store. We're going to try and get these out as regularly as possible. We love having you guys listen in. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.